Good morning. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm so glad that you've joined us, whether you're here in person or whether you're watching online. Thank you for being part of our faith community today. Today, we're starting a new message series that we are calling Filled by the Holy Spirit. And this series represents a working partnership between three churches, our team here at WMB, Gateway Church in Caledonia, and the Well Church in Binbrook. And it's exciting to be working together in unity with these friends in faith. Together, we realize that many people come from church backgrounds that don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Even though here at WMB, we teach and we speak about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is very much a part of our Mennonite Brethren convictions, we know that there are some people who are still left with questions. So this series is designed for you, not only to know more about him, but to simply know him more, so that you too can be deeply filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, it may not surprise you that I've never really been afraid of speaking or performing in front of crowds. In fact, I can remember specifically asking my parents for a microphone when I was a child. And they got me a toy. I was really disappointed, a plastic guitar and a plastic microphone. And I was like, no, I wanted a real actual microphone, the kind that I saw my musical heroes using in their concerts and in their music videos. Now, I'm sure that as I went through school, I delighted every single one of my teachers when I took every opportunity to act, to speak, or even to sing at school. And it should be no surprise that I ended up in a role that involved speaking or singing today. But the truth is that my abilities can only get me so far. Sure, I might be able to speak or to sing well enough on my own, but when it comes to doing any of this for Jesus, I realized quickly that I was not good enough just on my own. Now, I could play you some cassette tapes. Yes, cassette tapes. Of my early days leading in worship, or I could dig up some of my first messages, and as you might expect, they're not that good. I couldn't do it. I thought that God had called me to it, but I was struggling. But that's where we have to factor in for the wild card. The wild card for all of us is the way that God can enable us to do things that we wouldn't naturally be able to do on our own. And of course, I'm speaking of the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, I came to faith in the Pentecostal church, so I knew that there was this person called the Holy Spirit who might be able to help me and fill me and lead me to do his ministry with his power and not my own. But the problem that I had was that I was afraid of him. What if the Holy Spirit makes me weird? Because some of the stuff that I was seeing in my church was kind of weird to me. And I don't need to be any weirder than I already am. So what should I do? Should I seek the filling of the Holy Spirit? Should I ask him to take control of my life? Or should I continue to try to do things on my own strength? Friends, I wonder if any of you can relate to this dilemma. Do any of you need power for Christian service? What about power for living a holy life? Do any of you need a higher power to break free from addictive behaviors? What about from negative thinking? Have you heard that the Holy Spirit was given so that you could be enabled to live a new life, but you're afraid or hesitant of the Holy Spirit? Let me ask you again, if there's anyone here today that would say, yeah, that's me. If so, I want you to know that you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about because you can trust the Holy Spirit. You can seek him and you can let him control your life. If you have your Bible or your Bible app handy, why don't you turn to John chapter 14? We're going to begin reading there in just a moment. We're going to start at verse number 15. But just while you're finding your place there, let me give you a little background on what we're reading today. This passage comes from a four-chapter portion of the book of John that we sometimes call the farewell discourse. Jesus and the disciples are gathered in the upper room on the night before Jesus' death on the cross. They're celebrating the Passover meal, what we would normally call the Last Supper, And Jesus is speaking to his disciples because he really wants to prepare them for what's going to happen after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. So here's what it says. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's just pause here and pray. Well, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. And that just as these scriptures have been read, and today as your word is proclaimed, we pray that you might help us to hear with joy what it is that you're saying to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like me, when I started in ministry, and like most of us at some point in time in our lives, these disciples are feeling very inept here in the upper room. They knew that they could not continue the movement that Jesus began, and Jesus knows that too. These guys trying to take over Jesus' ministry from here was a disaster waiting to happen. And so Jesus promised them that someone would come to live within them. The word to describe this empowering person is paraclete in Greek. It literally means the one who comes alongside. The NIV translation calls him the advocate. Some of the other English translations call him the counselor. And I think that either of these words describe effectively what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us. That's a good thing. It's certainly nothing to be afraid of. Now, we're going to talk more about this in a minute. But for now, you should know that the Holy Spirit helps us by giving us everything we need for holy living and effective service. Now, let me be clear about something. The moment you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in your life. That's what it says here in verse 17. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Some of the earliest copies of this text say, "For he lives with you and is in you." Make no mistake, either way, you have the Holy Spirit. But you are not automatically filled by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes that's because we're afraid to hand over control. You see, being filled by the Holy Spirit means we allow him to take over every part of our lives. Now, I wonder if these disciples had the same kind of worries that we often have about the Holy Spirit. We've called this message, "Do Not Be Afraid." It's right there in verse 27, because people are often afraid to allow the Holy Spirit to fill them and to control them. In my experience, I've encountered many Christians who were afraid of the Holy Spirit. They'll say things like, "Is he going to make me speak in tongues? Is he going to make me fall over? I love Jesus. Jesus is so gentle and kind and good. Jesus is peaceful and loving. I could trust Jesus with anything. But the Holy Spirit, he'll make me out of control. He'll push me to do what I don't want to do. I'm afraid of what might happen if I yield my life into his hands." Our passage today is meant to help you to see how there is no reason for us to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Take another look at verse 16. It's the start of our passage. Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you. The word that's translated another here is really important for us to understand. It's a small word in the original Greek language. It's allos. Its literal meaning is another of the same kind. Now, there's two different words for another in the New Testament Greek. There's allos and heteros. Allos means another of the same kind. Heteros means another of a different kind. Let me explain why John used this particular word allos here. Years ago, if you wanted to listen to music, you went to a music store to buy CDs. All right. I can still remember that the new CDs always came out on Tuesday. So it was a highlight of my week on Tuesday to head down to the music store and check out what was new and cool. In retrospect, if someone had told me that all these many years later, I would have unlimited access to whatever kind of music I wanted to find on my phone or my computer, I would be a much richer man today. Anyways, imagine that the year is 1999. Some of you weren't born. You went to the store and you bought a CD. The next day, you're playing that CD in your car and your friend says, I'll go get another one. So your friend agrees and takes the CD. The next day, you go back to that music store. You say to the person behind the counter, this is before we bought things online, do you remember the CD that I bought from you yesterday? I'd like another one. What you're saying is, I'd like another one exactly the same as the one I had. And that's the Greek word allos. It means another of the same kind. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is this. The another that's spoken about here in John 14 is the Greek word allos. And so here's our connection. Whatever we might think about Jesus, however we might characterize Jesus, his love, his gentleness, his respect for others, his patience, his kindness, these are the very same character traits that we can expect from the Holy Spirit. Jesus and the Spirit operate in the same wonderful way. They are different persons of the Godhead, but they're the same in their character, in their manners, and in their actions. And so the main thing that I want you to understand today is this, that the Holy Spirit is not another who is different than Christ. He's another who is the same. In our passage today, Jesus is telling these fearful disciples, the same way you feel about me, your teacher, your leader, your helper, your counselor, you can feel the exact same way about another, the Holy Spirit, because he is another who is the same. And he's saying the same thing to you and to me today. We can trust the Holy Spirit the same way we trust Jesus. We can let go of control, surrendering our lives to him, because Jesus is telling his disciples, and he's telling us today, do not be afraid to trust the Holy Spirit. So friends, I wonder if you might pause with me here and ask yourself, honestly, if you've been afraid of the Holy Spirit. Have you been afraid that he might make you more charismatic, speaking in tongues, or having words of wisdom, knowledge for others, and you don't feel very comfortable with that? Have you been afraid that he'll make you a bolder witness for Jesus, feeling compelled to share your faith at work or at school, and you might be rejected? Or have you been afraid he might send you out on missions trips like Greg, and you're worried about what that might look like? Like me, you don't want to be any weirder than you already are. Please understand that life in the Spirit won't always make you more comfortable. Don't forget that Jesus didn't keep people very comfortable. Time and time again in Scripture, though, we see as people are called to step out in faith for God into situations that might be uncomfortable, when they're surrendered to God, when they do this with God's power and not with their own, it's possible. And remember, what we're saying today is that the Holy Spirit is not another who is different than Christ. He's another who is the same. So if you're like me, if you're looking for the power to live the Christian life that you know you don't have, if you want to yield to the Holy Spirit and ask him to take control, to fill you and lead you, but you've been afraid, do not be afraid. Seek him. Release control of your life to him because you will never regret it. Many of you know that the period of 40 days before Easter is called Lent, right? Nod your heads, you've heard that. But few of us probably know that there's a name for the period of time after Easter also. It's called Eastertide. Anybody heard that before? No? Not many? I had no idea. And it's during this period where the celebrations of Easter carry on until the next big day on the Christian calendar, which is Pentecost. In the time after Jesus died and rose again, the first Christians stayed in the upper room together, constantly praying. They were eagerly waiting for Jesus to make good on the promises that we read here in today's passage and in other places, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on them. And then in Acts 2, Luke records how this happened. He filled the believers and then led them out in sharing the good news of Jesus all over the known world. This message series is going to wrap up on Pentecost Sunday. And my prayer is that over this time, you would adopt the same kind of attitude as these disciples. That you would be in prayer. That you'd be longing for the Spirit to fill you and to lead you to new heights of love, joy, and peace. As you pray, believe that you've been given the Holy Spirit if you believe in Jesus, and now seek him for the power that only he can provide. Let's return again to our main point today, that the Holy Spirit is not another who is different than Christ, but another who is the same. And with the time we have remaining, let's explore this practically by answering the question, how? How is the Holy Spirit like Jesus? I think there's many ways that this is true, but there are a few specific ways that we can pull from our passage today. The first is this: he loves us more than we ever dreamed. As a worship pastor, people would complain to me that some of the songs we sing are repetitive. I thought about this, and I would often reply something like, "Do you only tell your kids or your spouse that you love them once? Would they really know that you love them? Or do you tell them many times, maybe every day, maybe more than once a day? Sometimes it takes a few repetitions for us to really get it. Similarly, we might have some understanding that Jesus loves us, but I really believe we'll only truly understand this when we experience his love more deeply. And sometimes that takes multiple attempts, multiple repetitions for us to get it. We're just a little bit thick. And that's why sometimes for me, when we've been singing, praying, or meditating on scriptures, the words we're reading, we're singing, or we're speaking just open up. And the love of God finally sinks in. And I let go of whatever junk I've brought in from the week. I release myself and I press into God. And sometimes when I do that, I begin to tear up in joy because I feel the love of God washing over me. Often this is because I realize that I'm more sinful than I ever dared to admit. But I'm also more loved than I ever dared to dream. In our passage today, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." If that's not a picture of Jesus' loving care for us, I don't know what is. Here's these disciples who are fearful that as Jesus is describing his death about to happen, they're going to be abandoned, left on their own like parentless orphans. But Jesus declares this is not the case, that in his love, he will come to them and he will dwell with them. If that didn't make it clear, Jesus goes on saying in verse 21, "The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." God loves us and we love God. The Holy Spirit helps us to dial into the love of God. And this is the motivation that we need to live a holy life. A few months ago, I didn't tell her I was going to say this, so sorry. My daughter Avery called me after she had taken the car to youth for the very first time on her own. And she said, "The car won't start." So I asked her a few questions like, "Did you run out of gas? Is it making any noise? Is it trying to start at all?" And it turns out after we put on, you know, warmer clothes and headed out to where she was, the battery was dead. And you need the power of the battery if you want the car to run. As Christians, the power that we run on is the love of God. And as you know, batteries can be drained, but they can also be charged. If you go for days and months and years and you are not re-energized by experiencing the love of God, it will be very difficult to live in the Christian life. It will be a duty or a chore rather than a delight. How do we receive this love and who gives it to us? We didn't get this far in our Romans series, but in Romans 5, it tells us that God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So just like we've experienced God's love in Jesus, we experience God's love through the Holy Spirit. He loves us more than we ever dreamed. How else is the Holy Spirit like Jesus? Second way, he grows us gently in holiness. He's called, friends, the Holy Spirit because he brings holiness. Just as Jesus challenged and helped his followers to become more like him, so the Holy Spirit makes us more like him, more like Christ. Notice this passage is filled with comments about obeying Jesus. Here's three of them. Jesus expects us to obey him and keep his commands, but he knows we can't do it. And so he gives us his Spirit. In order for this to happen, we need to depend on him. We need to surrender to him. Ask him in prayer to give you the ability that he has to be loving, patient, kind, whatever you need in that moment. Don't lean on your own ability, but lean on him. Ask him. Notice Jesus says in verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The power of the Spirit isn't something that you earn. His presence and power is a gift you receive by faith. You see, it's not imitation that we need to follow him into holiness. It's impartation. We need more than Jesus' death on the cross. We need his resurrection life. Take this coat here. I got this coat when I volunteered with the 2015 Pan Am Games in Toronto. It's not particularly stylish. I mean, I wouldn't normally go for something so bright. But it'll keep you warm in a cool breeze, and it reminds me of being a part of that event. Now, my favorite thing is that my oldest daughter, Natalie, has borrowed this coat for the past two summers to take to camp with her. See who's cool now. Now, I could hold out this coat, and I could say something, coat, I own you. And I have certain expectations for you today, coat. I'm going to tell you to do something, coat, and I expect you to obey. Coat, raise up your sleeve. I could try every trick in the book to get this coat to raise up its sleeve, but you and I know there's no way that's going to happen. Why? Because there's no life in this coat to enable it to do what I'm asking it to do. Now, some of you have been saying to yourself all of your Christian life, self, raise up your morals. Self, raise up your actions. Self, raise up your thought life. Self, raise up your relationships. Self, raise up yourself. But you need to realize, there's no way that that's going to happen. Because there's no life in yourself that's capable of doing what you're asking it to do. When I put on this coat, and I say, coat, raise up your sleeve. Well, look at that. The sleeve rises up. It's not because of the coat, but because of the life that's in the coat. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us here in verse 19 when he says, because I live, you also will live. We need the life of Jesus to live like Jesus. Because only by Christ living in me, by his Holy Spirit, will I be enabled to live in a way that I could never live without him on my own. My friends, we are empty coats and we cannot raise our sleeves. And that's why I want to ask you again today, if you're at a place where you will surrender, yield, and abandon yourself to the Holy Spirit. You'll never regret surrendering to the Holy Spirit because he's just like Jesus. He loves us more than we could ever dream, and he grows us gently into greater levels of holiness. I just wonder really quickly if there's anything else, and I think there's one more. He empowers us for faithful service. Jesus is somebody who did all of his ministry by the Holy Spirit. Sorry, it's a little too hot for the coat. And at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that he didn't say anything that the Father didn't tell him to say. He didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. Jesus was filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. And now here in the upper room in our passage today, Jesus promises us that we can rely on the Holy Spirit the same way he did. He says, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. The work that's going to happen ongoingly in the lives of the believers is done for a specific purpose. It's so that the work of Jesus would be continued in and through our lives today. Really like the way this commentator says this, the Spirit duplicates and sustains Jesus' work. It's a beautiful short statement. And what this means is that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us how we can serve God faithfully as we share the good news, as we build up the local church. What we got to remember today, for the sake of time, we've only looked at a small portion of Jesus' longer conversation with these disciples before his death. And that's important. We've said this before. You've got to read scripture in big chunks because you need the whole picture. If we quickly jump back to verse 2, Jesus starts this whole conversation saying this, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? The word place there in Greek is a word meaning dwelling, like a house. Then in verse 12, before Jesus has even mentioned the Holy Spirit, he tells us what's going to happen after he goes away. It says there, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. His work will be continued by us in an even greater way. Now, if you thought this was going to mean you were going to do something even more amazing than Jesus, sorry, that's not what it means. What it means by greater is that it'll be greater because it won't just be Jesus doing it. It will be all of us doing this when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's greater. And finally, the connection in this passage comes full circle in verse 23 in our passage today. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Did you get it? The word for home here is the same word as place back in verse 2. The dwelling that Jesus went to the Father to prepare for us is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. Just like last week, we said that our salvation isn't just a promise for the future. It's not far off. It's a living reality right now. So we can say the exact same thing this week. The dwelling that Jesus has gone away to prepare for us isn't just a future heavenly home. It's the real life, right now, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, because in his love for us and his desire to grow us in holiness, Jesus also empowers us for faithful service today through his Holy Spirit. I want to wrap up and just say, there was something that I learned in those early days of ministry, leading in worship. I can very specifically remember going away to a retreat and praying off on my own that God would take my human abilities that I had to bring to speak and to sing and make them greater, because I couldn't do it on my own. My battery was draining without getting the charge that I so desperately needed from God. And so I was desperately seeking God, that if I was going to do this, that it would be for him. And I needed the Holy Spirit to give his ability to my life to minister. I couldn't do it on my own. And so that day I experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit so powerfully. I was weeping before God in a way that I had never experienced in my life. because for the first time in my life, I had surrendered completely to him. And I learned I have nothing to fear from the Holy Spirit. In the years since, there's been something different. Sometimes people would say things like, oh, you have a nice voice or you speak well. That's great. But what always struck me was when people wouldn't quite be able to put their finger on it. They'd say something like, you have a way of sensing and encouraging people, of unlocking hearts and hearing and responding to God. That's not me. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, because it's something I can't do on my own. And it happens only when I don't rely on my power, but when I tap into something greater, his power. Let's pray. Well, Jesus, we thank you. First, we thank you so much that you love us. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you that we are not left on our own, but you've promised your Spirit to fill us, to dwell within us, to comfort us, to counsel us, to help us. Thank you so much that you want us to grow in holiness, and you've made a way possible that we can even dare to dream, to be in surrender and to obey and to follow after you. So Holy Spirit, would you lead us in holiness? Because Lord, we know that's what you desire in our lives. And finally, Lord, we thank you so much that you've given us power to do your work, to continue your work of sharing the good news, of building up and encouraging one another. And Lord, we thank you for the beautiful way that your Spirit gifts us to do this. Might we rely completely on you in all of these ways. And might it be for your great name, for your glory, God, so that you would be made greater, that greater things would be done. In the mighty name of Jesus and by the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen.